Welcome to National MI's Educational Sales Podcast Series, hosted by mortgage sales consultants Pat Sherlock and Bobby Welch. This podcast is brought to you by National MI University. We are committed to delivering quality education. Now let's get started.
Hi, everyone. This is Pat Sherlock.
Hey, Bobby Welch. Pat, how's it going?
It's good. And this is another fantastic topic because it's so timely, because I see so often companies struggling with this. But our topic today is moving a loan office from 2 units to 5. And I think the big picture needs to really kind of be said. And that is, Bobby, I'm sure as you see, that the average production in mortgage banking today is actually roughly around 2.5 units. So we have a lot of originators that fall into this quadra of really having low production. And it seems to be that the purchase money market hasn't really made a change. Any thoughts?
You know, gosh, I have so many thoughts about this.
Right.
You know, you and I have talked about a lot in the past that, you know, these are really a couple forces at work. Some of them apply to what we're talking about today. Some of them don't. You know, the ones that we're focused on today is just, we've got to make sure that we've hired the right people and we've given them the right strategies and the right plan and the right support to succeed in the new market. Because it really is just a different skill set when you're dealing with referral partners and the borrowers, because really there's a double sale going on, right?
Right, right. So would you say it's fair to say that let's establish that the individual loan officer does have talent? And so the hiring issue we'll put aside, although you're right that that's the fundamental problem. Does that person have the talent? And I have to tell you, just because they've been in the business a long time does not mean that they are a sales hunter. So, but let's assume that they have the talent. And I guess we could make the assumption that they've been caught off guard with the purchase money. Maybe they did a lot of refinancing, didn't really keep the referral sources as they should have been, and hasn't really kind of drummed up new sources. So why don't we assume that they have some talent and then talk about strategies to improve the production from 2 units to 5.
Yeah, perfect. Well, you know, I think the first strategy needs to be that the goals need to be personalized. In other words, we keep telling loan officers, hey, you know, let's get you funding 5 units a month, but we really don't spend the time necessary vetting out for them, like, what does 5 units a month mean to them? Mm-hmm. You know, what does it mean to their standard of living? What does it mean to the opportunity of their family? And what does it mean to the motivations? Like, how does that serve the internal motivations that loan officer, and they're all different, they're all unique. Mm-hmm. How does it help express those internal motivations to the loan officer so that they can draw a direct parallel to the things that they want in life and this increased performance at work, that they can see that they are tied together and linked together. And, you know, that should be a personal exercise. And I'll give you an example really quick. You know, if I can see that by moving from 2 units a month to 5, if I can see that that means a better college 12 years down the road for my kid, and if I can see that that means some more exciting travel, because travel personally excites me and is one of the things that I get out of life, then that's a plus. And then if I can see that, you know, I'm the type that, you know, let's say being known as an expert and having the ability to serve people with what I know and use my gift, if I can see that, you know, serving twice as many borrowers will also be personally satisfying to me. If as a manager, I take the time to pull all of that out of someone and directly tie those extra units funding every month to those things, then motivation increases. And I think that's step one, is because we jump too fast to, hey, I need you to close 5 units a month.
Right. Well, what do you think about when you listen to so many companies will make the pitch that it will be technology, it will be our marketing support, it will be a whole litany of things that we'll give you. But the reality is what you're saying is that you can have all those tools, but if you don't tie together with the motivation component, it's not likely that that 2-unit producer is going to move to 5.
Yeah. Having a great toolbox does not mean the loan officer is going to take the time to open and take the tools out and use them.
Right. Right.
So, you know, first we have to figure out what's going to motivate them to open that really great toolbox. Like, what's in it for them?
Right.
What does it mean?
Right.
If that.
Yeah. And so many, I think, managers and companies for that, you know, kind of issue, they look at it as strictly being money. And I think as a recognition that money is not the motivator. And I think what you're saying is right on, is that each individual has their own motivator. And when the hiring manager is interviewing, or if the employee is a current employee, that conversation of what is the personalized goals really is something worthwhile doing. So why don't we talk
Absolutely.
About the second part? Let's assume that the motivation is there. Certainly what I see in many sales organizations that I'm involved with is that the two-unit producer is someone without the right structure. And the structure could be the structure of the day, could be of the week, of really a whole litany of things. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, and I'm going to backtrack just a little bit and then bounce back forward again, because you brought up a point I don't want to just move past a little too quick. And you made a comment about money, and that that's not always the biggest motivator. Not only is it not always the biggest motivator, but we misunderstand as managers, and we even misunderstand as people who are trying to motivate ourselves internally what money really is. You know, I know very few people in life that get super ridiculously excited about a number in their bank account. They exist, but they're a minority. Our jobs as managers is to understand and train really people to look at money the right way, that it's just a tool.
Right.
And it's a great tool because it helps us realize the things that are really important to us sometimes a little bit faster, because it can give us leverage. Money is just leverage to get something. But we have to learn in the industry how to define money in such a way that people really look at it in a fashion that motivates them and keep them moving forward. And when we learn to do that, you know, first, to your point, it's not number one. But then if it's not number one, it's usually top three with a lot of people.
Right.
But that even by itself, unless you frame it right, you're not going to get the mileage out of it. Or you're going to still have a lot of $200,000 a year producers that are hollow and still upset. And then it collapses in on itself. But to your point of priorities and spending, you know, not always engaged in the right actions.
Right.
That's massive. You know, for me, that's step number two, and that's creating a plan. But the most important piece of that plan is what activities move the needle, and when do you use each tool? What step of the process do you use that tool, and what expectations should you have from each action? And one of the big things that I see when people are writing up their plan is they confuse marketing for sales, and they confuse marketing activity for sales activity. So they think that, you know, they think that their CRM emailing out a blast, an email blast, they think that the fact they did that today, that they actually were engaged in sales activity, and you and I both know they weren't.
That's really a great point, and I have to agree with you 100%, is that there is a confusion of what is a selling activity. And I think, unfortunately, as the research will tell you, and not just in the mortgage industry, but in many industries, that the salesperson is really doing almost less than 20% of actual selling activities, which would be defined as presenting to a new referral source. In other words, those sequence of events. Again, what ends up happening, and I think this happens certainly in mortgage banking, is that the 80% of your time is what I would call busy work, or work that can be very deceiving because it isn't a selling activity. Reality is that it's not going to increase your number of referral sources.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, you can certainly get to a point where you've got a list large enough that some marketing starts generating kind of pre-sold people calling
right.
you. You know, that does happen. I think where most people fall short is that they underestimate, you know, the number of followers you need to just have your phone ring just because of your status inside a certain community in social media and stuff. Those numbers are so gigantic that they can take years to create that following. And the problem is you need to eat today.
Right.
And so when I'm having people build out their plan, I'm all for, because I'm sitting here already hearing the emails from this podcast saying, you know, social media is important and marketing is, you know, sales letters, and because I've dealt with it all before. I'm not saying that it doesn't work. It's just the time that it takes to build that following is underestimated. The amount of activity, wildly underestimated. And the reality is marketing should be seen important to you today for two reasons. One is to warm the cell up, to make the connection.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk about the connection here again in a minute, to make that connection happen smoother and more often in a warmer way. And then number two, to shorten the amount of time that's needed for your prospect to go from introduction to sold.
Right.
If you focus that your marketing is to serve those two purposes, then when you connect, i.e. a sales connection, and you walk them through a sales process, which is typically, you know, should be in person or on the phone, then it goes so much smoother when people recognize the role of both.
Right. Maybe another way to put it is that marketing is awareness building, and that selling is actually, you know, taking that awareness where the person will want to answer your phone call, will want you to do a presentation. In other words, that is the issue, that you're exactly right. There's a whole bunch of marketing could be going on with the two-unit producer, but there's not a lot of selling activity. So I think it's fair to say for the listeners today that the loan officers really need to recognize and look at how their time's being spent. And is it being spent on selling activities which are presenting to actual people, and that is not sending an email? I think that gets a lot of confusion on, well, I sent an email. Well, that basically is not, you know, a selling activity. That's more of a follow-up
right.
activity and a marketing. Any other thoughts?
And by the way, that's the good news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we can make the phones ring in our mortgage offices just by sending emails, or just by posting cute videos on social media, mm-hmm. or just by holding really cool webinars about topics that homebuyers or realtors care about, if that's all it took to sell, then companies would replace us immediately with much lower paid people. So, you know, when people hear this conversation, they should actually get pretty excited that that stuff is not going to replace mortgage loan officers anytime too soon, even though it will be used to generate leads, and even though it will be used to generate awareness and expertise and all of that, you still need the human being. It's a complex transaction. You still need the human being in the middle, closing the sale and getting the commitment to do business, you know, after all these other things create the opportunity to connect. So, you know, that's exciting.
Well, when you look at, let's assume now we have a structure in place where you do have a plan, you are emphasizing selling activities. I think the next step is really establishing a winning sales. And I think that's the part which it takes it from the plan stage and the structured stage to now I need to have this be a frequent behavior that I'm going to adopt. And I think that's what holds back the two-unit originator, because they're stuck with habits that actually are non-productive, which leads to this issue that they're actually not selling. They're doing a lot of pipeline managed. So how would you suggest for the listeners today about how do you establish this sales habit, what I call a winning sales habit?
Yep. Well, it's actually pretty simple, and that's you have to get laser focused on the one metric that is going to move the needle the fastest for you from 2 a month to 6, 7, 8 a month. And that metric is the number of active referral partners that you have. And I describe an active referral partner to mean that it's a real estate agent or an attorney or a financial planner who has referred you business that has closed and funded, creating a commission check for you in the last 90 days. Anyone else on that list of agents that you're marketing and selling to, they are prospects, but they're not active agents. So when you get obsessed that every single day, something that you did puts you one step closer to another active real estate agent, and that becomes the sheer brunt of everything that you're trying to do each day, then you'll move forward.
That's a great point. And I have to tell you, and it's not a coincidence that every time when you see the low producers, the two unit producers, they also do not have very many referral sources. I mean, when you look at it, that number, they'll have less than a handful is what I see at the two unit production level. Now, you know, go to the top producer, and that top producer will have 20 or more referral sources. And again, there is a correlation that really makes a lot of sense, that the more I have, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was at a top producer panel not too long ago, and a lot of the top producers on the panel were actually discussing how much of their business they get from referral, word of mouth. And I think that that's a little dangerous for a new person. You know, right now we're talking about how does somebody doing 2 units a month, how do they get to, you know, 6? The top producer has hundreds and hundreds of past clients and hundreds of agents that have done business with them over the years. So the word of mouth kind of kicks in and becomes a larger part of their business plan. You know, I know producers that, you know, have been doing this 15, 20 years that they get literally past clients make the phone ring and they don't have to do a lot of prospecting anymore. And that's one thing I would tell people to be careful of, is to understand that in the beginning, these referral partners are your number one priority, period. And when you go to a seminar and they talk about the importance of word of mouth advertising, the importance of your past clients, the importance of calling your past database, that's true, but you're not going to get to 6 units every single month by calling just your 40 past clients.
True.
You haven't built that asset up enough for it to perform at that level anymore. So if you're in the 2 to 3 range right now and you're newer to the business and you don't have, you know, 300, 500 past customers, I'm dead serious. The only thing that's going to get you to 6 or higher is increasing the number of active referral partners you have, period.
Right. And I'd make the argument that even the better producers that do have a book of business over the years, they still need to do the same activities. I think the reality is that the business is changing. Real estate agents and partners get out of the business. So you're always in this action point of having to replace them. But I do think you're for sure, you have a great point about if you are, you know, let's say less than 5 years in the business, the word of mouth is not going to be enough. So, yep. Well, time has flown. Let's maybe talk about some summary points that we would like the listeners to have today about key thoughts about improving from a 2-unit to a 5 or 6 unit producer.
Yeah, you bet. I hate to oversimplify it, but really it's the big idea from today's call is that you've got to increase the number of active referral agents that you have. So, you know, step one, get motivated, personalize your goals, get in touch with why you need to do it because you're going to need the fuel to get there. Step two, create a plan. That plan should be solely focused on creating more active referral partners into it. And that plan should be broken down into 3 pieces. You know, the first piece is how are you going to source these new agents? You know, that's pretty easy. Who are the agents you need to work with in the area? Who do you have connections with, either directly or indirectly, and how are you going to get in front of them so that you can, step two, convert them into active real estate agents? The conversion process is sales activities, coffees, and serving activities, impacting their business in a positive way, helping them somehow, creating a service deficit so at some point that loan comes back to you. And then the last step is really you have a process in place that wows the borrowers when they come in so that the loan that you get from the referral partner becomes tomorrow's business for them through all of the active referrals that'll come from it and then repeat. And it's literally that cycle, source, convert, wow, as you're building your plan so that you get there.
Well, Bobby, I think they are all great points. And I guess the only point that I'd like to make is that, you know, this requires establishing what I would call winning sales habits, which means that it's an everyday commitment to, in other words, you know, pursue actively doing selling activities. And it's as simple as that, is that, you know, for those that are at the 2-unit level, what they need to do is just this once a day, if it's starting out with doing a half an hour of selling activities because you haven't done any, then you move to the next part where it becomes an hour, the next part, maybe 2 hours. So again, the point is to make it a habit. And to do that, it has to be an activity that's every day. So any other last thoughts?
Nope. Roll up your sleeves, get to work.
We want to thank everybody for joining us today and certainly stay tuned to our next podcast. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening. If you have a topic to suggest, please tell your National MI account manager, and you may soon see it as part of our sales podcast series.